Oh, you're good. You're good. Thank you, Michael. Well, today being Father's Day, Lillian said to me, if you say anything about your dad, say something about mine too. And I do remember Lillian's father who has passed away, but he was a great guy. He was just a humorist and very intelligent, and we always got a kick out of things he had to say. And we thought about he loved to laugh, and he loved people that talked a lot and had insight in certain things. And we thought how much he would have enjoyed my daughter-in-law Nydia, because she talks a lot, but she always says good, sensible things. They would have sat and laughed and laughed and laughed. And we thought about Lillian's father. He had some good words. I remember he gave her a little cookbook, and in the cookbook it said, what did he say? Do not forget the secret of celery root. Does anybody know what celery root is? A couple of people, but he used that in the preparation of his chicken soup. Such a chicken soup he made. But he was a great soup maker, and he was a great person, and I remember him with fond memories. He would always come up, and he would, before I was on my way to a show, he'd make sure that I had the proper food, and so have fond memories of Lillian's father. He was a Hungarian, so he spoke with a good Hungarian accent. So what are you doing today? So I like to make fun of his accent, but... Since I said some wonderful things about her father and good memories, all you fathers, thank God for fatherhood. And I think I mentioned something about my father this morning in Sunday school, but a couple other things my father gave me. He gave me an appreciation for the outdoors. My father was fished and hunted, and I see that has been passed on to me. I love to get out in the outdoors and hunt and fish, and... yesterday was the first day of bass season, so I snuck out and I got a couple bass, took them home, cleaned them, and we ate them. So that's my father taught me that. Not to eat them, to catch them. He gave me a sense of God. My father went to church. He tithed. I told you the story. My father, I don't know if he ever made more than $10,000, $15,000 a year. He was a door-to-door sweeper salesman. But he had great respect for God and the things of God. And I remember whatever he made, if he made, because he would get the money that day pretty much. And if he made $100 a day, $10 of that went into a little jar up in the corner shelf. And whatever was in that jar at the end of the week went up to church that week. And my father never lacked in anything. He had two cars. He had a Jeep for going his hunting and fishing, and another car at home for mom. And he sent two children through college, two kids through college. We never lacked for anything. Here's a man that made very little, but God supplied his need. And I thank God for that. He respected Sundays especially. He wouldn't shoot the gun on a Sunday, and he wouldn't do anything that he thought desecrated Sunday in any way. He honored that. And I remember my father was asked to do the Sunday school opening. So he at that time, he was up at our house visiting, and he was going back. He said, how do I pray in the morning? And so we went through a litany of things, and I just said, just start with the world, the universe. Thank God for the universe. Then come down to the world and think about things of the world. Then come down to the church, think about things of the church. Then come down to your own personal life. I sort of gave him what I thought it would be a good way to be able to open in a prayer for the Sunday school service. And my father, although he went to church and he did all those things, I don't know at that point if he had a real vibrant personal relationship with God, with Jesus. But I had the opportunity of leading my father in the sinner's prayer at our breakfast table in our log cabin over in Wardsboro one time when he came up. And so I am confident that he, my mother, and my sister are both in the arms of the beloved, and I thank God for that. He taught me respect for women. He loved my mother. I remember when my mother was coming to a place where she was going to die. She has emphysema had overtaken my mother, and she slowly was going downhill. He went to the hospital every single day, stayed with her most of the day, and sang to her while she was in that hospital bed. And I remember the nurses commenting on that, that he just came in and sang songs and just told her how wonderful she was, how pretty she looked, and he was a good man and that very loving man to stick up for his wife, even in those difficult times. And I've always, that has poured out on me. You become, I think, many times what your father has. Not that my father was far from perfect. He did many things. I remember he had a pretty reactive temper. And I remember, you don't remember old-time canopers where they would attach to the side of the wall, and you put the can up and you'd turn this thing. My mother bent over, and she bumped her head against that thing. And my father went over to that, and he ripped it off the wall, screws and all. I mean, he just slammed it off. He was very strong. My father did blacksmith work when he was younger. And my father was able to do a one-arm chin-up. I don't mean he held on like this. My father could jump up at the bar and pull himself up one arm. I mean, I don't know many men that I've seen can do that. I kept practicing that as a youth. I was able to jump in with the inertia. I was able to pull myself up. But I always admired my father for his strength in that respect. Something we did in my home, we sang around the table almost every evening. We'd make a bowl of popcorn, and our door was always open. People would come walking in and out of their house. Our house never even knocked. People didn't knock on our door. In fact, we never locked the doors in Altoona. We just let the door open. People came walking in and sang. We didn't even know them. No, I'm just kidding. Now, the relatives all came over, and we'd have a good time in the kitchen, sitting around singing. And I have those good memories. I have a lot of good thoughts of my father. So I commend fatherhood. I would encourage you fathers to be an example to your sons. And now I laugh because I remember something. How old is Shay? How old, Shay? 15. Now, I don't know what year it was. I said my father had a bit of a reactive temper. I think maybe it rubbed off on me. I remember over in this corner by the door, we had an opening for serving. I thought this was going to be a great idea because we had a little kitchen there and we'd serve stuff in and out of the kitchen. Nobody ever used that opening in the entire time that we put it in. But I decided, oh, I'm going to put a shelf there that you can open these little stands and fold down the shelf. And I remember nobody ever used the shelf either. But one day Shay, and I don't know how old he was, 2, 3, 4, he walked past this thing, and wouldn't you know, he walked into that and cut his eye. I was so upset because I'm the one that put it up there. And I went over and I yanked it off the wall. Sorry, a pastor's not supposed to get upset. But I ripped that thing and I went back and I thought my father did the same thing. So not only am I the wonderful man that you know and love, because my father taught me some good things. But I do have a few flaws that I'm still working to see overcome in my life. Unfortunately, I've passed on some of my same personality to my sons, but I would pray they got some good things. I'm sure you have wonderful stories about your father, but I want to think about fathers today and men in general, whether you are a father or not. I have something to give to you this day, a gift to share with you today. This gift will change your life, but only if you faithfully use it. This gift will change your life. It's not a treadmill. Does anybody have a treadmill? Now, I've told you this before, I always laugh. I think a treadmill is great because ours has little bars on it. And when you set it up in the bedroom or the living room where you put it, you can lay your pants over and they keep a nice crease. And off the bars, you can hang shirts and many other things. And put your shoes in order down on the tread part. So I think treadmills are a wonderful thing, but you've got to use them for what they were intended for, a clothes hanger. That's what it is. It's a glorified $1,500 clothes hanger, because that's what most people end up using their treadmills for eventually. I mean, you all start off with good intents, but it ends up being an elaborate clothes hanger. Now, the gift I want to share to you is it's simple to state. I can state this very simply, and it may be because it's so simple and it's very easy to use. But because of that, you may discard this as not being worth the effort, and thinking that its benefits are questionable, even by those who give great accolades about the benefits of using this gift. So I'm going to be giving this gift away by my next statement here. But I'd like to make a comparison to before I tell you what this gift is. So let me see this. How many people want to get back in shape? All right, most of us do, and some of us will admit it. But the way to get in shape is to, I've got like five things. I want you to memorize these. Go to the gym, say that. Put on gym clothes. Plan a workout schedule. Don't overdo it. Eat right. Okay, now they are, go to the gym, put on gym clothes, plan a workout, don't overdo it, and eat right. So if you do that on a regular basis, now I want you to say it again. Go to the gym, put on gym clothes, get a workout schedule, don't overdo it, eat right. Who's got that in their head pretty good? All right. Now, how do you feel? You feel better? Or you feel like you're in shape now? After saying all that, I really feel like I've done the deal. Go to the gym, put on workout clothes, do the routine, eat right, don't overdo it. If you keep saying that every day, just get that memorized. You know what that'll do for you? You know what that'll do for you? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so I equate this thought with what I'm about to say in this next portion, is that you don't feel better just because you memorize an outline or you memorize a routine. And the outline or the routine will never be of benefit unless you apply it to your life. It must be used and learned, worked and worked upon to become effective. Now, I want to tell you a biblical outline or a biblical routine that is really an outline that was given to the disciples by Jesus Christ. And this sort of belies what my thought is. In Luke 11:1, the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then then he goes through the prayer of the disciples. And in Matthew chapter 6, beginning verse 9, he again repeats that. And it is the Lord's Prayer, as we know it, which is really the disciples' prayer, because the Lord's Prayer is John 17, when he prays to God. So he gives those men who were not baptized in the Holy Spirit, they were not baptized into the body of Christ and received the Holy Spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is a bit different. But so he gave them this routine to follow. Let's say the prayer. Everybody ready? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us a day our daily bread and lead us not into temptation. Who all has memorized that prayer? Now, let me ask you, how many think we just prayed? Now, that's what I'm wondering. Did we just pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The kingdom come, thy will be done. And we just rattled that baby off like without any much thought. We know the routine. We know the order, the workout of that. But is that what prayer is? So my thought has to do today with prayer. Not that I'm giving you prayer, because that's already been given to us, but I want to give you a more complete thought in this. It's more than a routine. Prayer is not something that you can outline, although you do know, and I've told you different times, I pray with a routinely in my life every morning, and I pray according to a bit of an outline, a structure that I follow. But within that, I interject what I'm seeking for, which is a deeper walk with God. I have no problem with that routine. But real prayer is communication with the God of all the universe. I mean, when I think about that, I'm almost like shocked. Real prayer is communication with the God of all the universe, the creator of all the universe. I mean, how many believe that? You believe that, but I wonder if you really believe that, if you really follow that. And so I'm trying to hit you where you live as I want to hit myself where I live. Is it something we just say, like we rattled off the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, as we just said a bunch of words? Is that prayer? Is that communication with God? Do you really think you're communicating with God when you pray? I'd like us to turn to a scripture today, if you do have your Bibles. If not, I'm sure Jamie's going to get there before you do. In Romans 8, and thinking about Romans 8, 26 and 27. And in that scripture, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I've broken this down into four sections, and I'm going to look at each one just for an hour or so, or less. Just got to make sure you're awake here. And so now I want to start with that first phrase. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. And as we did the Lord's Prayer, and if I would have asked you, and if I passed out a piece of paper, do you know how to pray? Everybody's going to say, oh, yes. Because maybe you've memorized the Lord's Prayer, or maybe you say a prayer at the dinner table, or maybe you prayed with us when we prayed over the children. So you're in agreement there, but are you really entering into the kind of prayer that is being spoken of here? I believe that there's something that should be different for a Christian praying, even than when Christ gave the disciples the initial prayer, the Lord's Prayer. I believe there's something different in the way we pray, because we are people that are of the Spirit. And so we pray in and by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And I have come to the conclusion in my life that I am ignorant in many of the things that I consider to be prayer. So the first thing, I want you to just start from this place to admit your ignorance in prayer. Not that you're an ignorant person, but that you know very little about how to pray. And if you think that what you're saying are prayers, then it seems that we're going against the very scripture that I just read. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our weakness. The weakness is that we don't know all things. And then he says, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Now, we may have a litany of things that we bring before God and give our Christmas list to God about what we want him to do for us. But I do not believe that that is the real essence of what God is calling us to in prayer. He's calling us to fellowship. He's calling us to commune with him in prayer. And I believe with all my heart that maybe some are entering into the prayer, that kind of prayer at this church, but maybe others of us have only scratched the surface of what real prayer is. And the gift that we might receive today, or I could give to men, is that you would pray in the proper manner that God has called you to. Set my mind on the Spirit for directions to pray. All right, I admit that I don't know how to pray. I admit that I don't know what to pray. But I do know that I can come to God. I do know that that has been given to me. The honor of coming to the God of all creation to be able to commune with him is something that is stunning. And I don't believe it's sunk into your minds. The beauty of the opportunity that you have and that I have. I never want you to ever think that I'm speaking down to you. We're all in the same boat. And we all need to come into a deeper place with God. But don't call it prayer when all you do is tell God what you want him to do. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe with all my heart that many people may not be saying that, but inwardly they are seeking that. They want their kingdom and they want their own will to be done. Dear God, give me more trials. Did anybody ever pray that today? Oh God, let me have a flat tire on the way to church. I just want to be late one more time. No, we're not praying for adversity. The Bible says we're supposed to count it all joy, though. But nevertheless, I don't know what to pray and how to pray for it. But God knows what he wants for me. I've seen some people because they don't know what to pray and they don't know how to pray, that because they've come to that place of a dilemma, they say, I'm just no good at this. I'm just not really going to pray. And I don't want to embarrass you to the place now to ask you if you even do pray, if you even come to God on a regular basis or once in a while. Is it only desperation prayers that you offer up, or do you have a relationship with Christ that you sit down and talk with him? Some of the greatest times that Lily and I spend together, other than when I'm in her arms embracing her and she's telling me how much she loves me. We recently got a porch swing. And we've been going out in the morning or other times and sitting on that swing with a cup of coffee and just looking out at the grass growing. Anybody ever watch grass grow? If you were born in the 60s, you know what I mean. I didn't watch grass grow like that. I was going to put a plant up here. And put this plant. Now just think, pretend I'm doing this. I've stuck a plant up here. That's the plant. And there sits that plant. Keep your eye on it. On that. Anybody got their eye on that plant? All right. Let me see your hand if you got your eye on that plant. There's something wrong with you folks. There's nothing up. All right, no. Just for fun, there's the plant there. And that's a nice plant right there. Sit down there. And so the times I've spent, Lillian and I, just swinging back and forth in that swing and talking about the things of the day has been such a joy to be able to commune in that respect. And other times when we just sit, don't even have to do much, just sit and talk or not even say a word. We're together. Now, those are beautiful times. And I think that's what God wants for us all. He wants to spend time with us. And it's not a favor that we're doing to God. Whoop, I don't want to kick that plant over. It's not a favor we're doing to God. It's an opportunity we have to be able to commune again with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, together. So I want you to admit, number one, that you are ignorant as to how to pray and what to pray. Now, maybe some aren't, but is anybody going to join with me? Because I'm admitting my ignorance. Anybody else ignorant out there? All right, I think when you do that, you are on the first step to having a better prayer life, a better relationship with God, if you will confess that and admit that you need to know how to pray. And first of all, if anybody is questioning me on that, I can again assure you that there are most people in this congregation that do not spend 5 minutes in prayer daily. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I can guarantee you that. And if you're honest with yourself, God doesn't want the shoot-up prayer on, he wants you to get along with him on the swing. He wants you to be with him. So my next point, besides admitting my ignorance, is that the next phrase said, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Do you realize that when you come to Jesus Christ, that you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit? You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. It is a judicial act in that sense that the Holy Spirit, in fact, it's the Holy Spirit that brings you to Christ. Your response elicits that entering in of the Holy Spirit into you, and you are now born again by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is in you. And the Bible says that one of the things he does within us is that he, the Spirit himself, intercedes for us. That means he is praying for us and through us. The Spirit is interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. I know some Pentecostals try to equate this to speaking in tongues, but if there are groanings too deep for words, I believe that it is an inner rising up that only the Spirit of God can understand that. It is the Spirit of God that is working in you. You may have an experience of joy or a knowledge of that in the sense of what there's something going on within your spirit, but it is the Spirit of God that is rising up within you. You are sensing that more than even like having an emotional experience. It is a rising up of knowing that the Holy Spirit has taken over, and now you're sailing in the power of the Holy Ghost. You are no longer trying to think up things to pray, but the Holy Spirit is moving you along. They were moved along by the Holy Spirit, and that's what we want in prayer, to have that sense that the Spirit will lead us. He not only leads us to the truth in salvation and doctrine, but he leads us by praying through us and interceding for us. I love the inner groanings of that. The Bible says, all of creation groaneth and travaileth. And I know that we might try to put physical attributes on some things anthropomorphically and say that God has arms, and maybe now we're trying to say that nature has a voice. I know the Bible says, as you know also, that if we hold back our praise, Christ said the very rocks would cry out. But I don't know in the sense that the rocks are sitting there, if they're groaning in that sense, but in the sense that creation wants to get back to the things of God, to shed this corruption that has entered into not only mankind, but all of creation. Corruption has entered in. And in that sense, it's almost a philosophical thought that it is groaning to come out of that back into a state of unity with God. And so we ourselves are groaning inwardly to have a relationship with God. And sometimes we fight against it. Now, I want you to know this, that not only are we ignorant to what the Spirit wants, but that doesn't matter if we will admit that the Spirit is interceding within us. And you must yield to that truth, that the Spirit is interceding within you. Next, in verse 27, and he who searches the hearts, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. Now, who is that but God Almighty, but Christ, that is searching the heart that is filled with the Spirit? God is looking into your heart, knows what your deepest need and your deepest desire and your deepest desires are. He knows your name. He knows what you need. As we sang in one of the worship songs, even before we ask or even think of it, he knows what we need. And he who searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. And because we have the Spirit of God within us, God knows what the Spirit is praying for us. Of course, the Holy Spirit is God. We are Trinitarian. We believe in God, Father, the Son, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that they are one and but three persons in that Godhead. Difficult to explain, but it is of God, and we have seen that in the Word. But we know that whenever the Spirit feels something, the Son and the Father, and also whenever the Father says something, the Son and the Spirit respond to that. My understanding is so limited, and my flesh is so alive, that most of the prayers I make are self-centered. Most of the prayers I make are centered around the things that I'm thinking about or the things that concern me. But the day that I yield to the Spirit of God to pray through me, I believe that is the day that I become a true intercessor and a true follower, or one that is being led by the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God is allowed to have full reign in my life. Let me tell you this. I'm very proud of my sons, both going to college, Eric now having gotten his master's, and I'm happy to attend also, and others in the church are taking courses and classes. Very proud to see them growing academically, mentally, and educationally. But I'm telling you that they have to realize, and I have to realize, that academia is only knowing the thing, where what I'm speaking about is experiencing the thing. I want to experience God. I want to have God moving in my life in a supernatural way. And the only way to see that accomplished is by coming into a deeper relationship with God and responding to what he's saying to me. And prayer is the key. Dick Morgan used to say that, sing to us, prayer is the key that opens the door. And that's what God is saying to you this day. If you have counted prayer as reiterating some phrases or coming up with special blessings at times, and they are nothing more than words spoken that do not have the spirit of truth in them and the spirit of worship in them. Today, I said to myself, as we are worshiping, I desire to not think about anything else than lifting up the name of Christ. And it was so beautiful. I love that song, when I see the Lord seated on the throne, and just and his train fills the temple. Imagine the beauty of the Christ that you pray to, having that vision of him. And so it's an experience that is better felt than telt, as we used to say. It moves in your heart, that kind. So don't ever think that a person that knows a lot educationally is ever any more spiritual than a person that has fallen in love with Christ, has thrown themselves in the arms of the Beloved. I want both things. I want to see a person that has good sound doctrine and good sound understanding of the Word of God, but one who is desperate as the deer panteth for the water brook, that my heart might pant for my Lord and my God. The Spirit knows what I need, and my Father, which art in heaven, knows what the Spirit's mind is in me. I thank God for that. Then I like to look at the fourth thing that I had seen. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I believe that that is a very important thought, because sometimes we think in prayer that we come to God to get what we want. I have come to the conclusion that I come to God to get what he wants for me. And sometimes I have chafed against the bit. I've not wanted the will of God. I've wanted my own will. My will be done. And so we wrestle against that. And I want to be honest with myself. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Because you are not pulling the wool over the eyes of God Almighty. He knows that what your fleshly desires are. And I don't mean they have to be lusting. They can just be a desire that you have that may not be the exact desire that God has for you. Now, do you want the will of God or do you want your own will? We want the will of God. Of course we do. And we say that. But it has to be that we have yielded to the Spirit of God in such a way that we will allow him to move through us. Like the treadmill that I mentioned earlier, prayer and the sermons of prayer have become a great place to hang our noble thoughts. When we think of prayer, we see something very nobly. Prayer changes things. It does. But if it's nothing more than a cliche, why say it? The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. We say that so nobly, but are we entering into that kind of prayer with God? The practice of true prayer is more than an item that you might find on some discipleship program. Again, it is communion with God. It is your life's blood. Prayer is the air that you breathe, spiritual air. That's what prayer is and should be in your life, but I believe we've only scratched the surface of it. I gave you 5 points on how to get in shape. The Bible said, and Paul says to Timothy, while bodily exercise is of some value, godliness is of value in every way because it holds promise for the present life and also for that which is to come. With all you're getting, get the wisdom of coming into a relationship with Christ Almighty. That's the most important thing that you could ever think of or do. Now, just a thought here with some scriptures and about the benefits of prayer to whet our appetites. Love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that persecute you. Some people say, I really don't know what to pray. So here's your first one. Start to pray for those that have misused you, that have persecuted you. Pray for the government. If you don't feel it's doing you right, rather than complaining about it, begin to pray for them. If, in fact, prayer changes things, and that's the cliche you use, if, in fact, you're going to stick with that, then why not utilize it? Why not act as though it really is true and begin to pray for those that persecute you? It says in Matthew 9, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers. I don't have anything to pray. Well, how about praying for missionaries? How about praying for the persecuted of the church? How about praying for pastors and evangelists and teachers and those that are bringing forth the gospel? Begin to pray for them. If, in fact, prayer even has any merit, why not utilize it? Interesting thing I have thought about is that Christ had all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in him, says in Colossians 2:9. Then why did Christ ever go down to the Jordan and get baptized? And why was John told that him whom you see the Holy Spirit descend and rest, he is the Son of God? Why would the Holy Spirit have to come upon Christ? Why, it was an anointing. It was an inauguration of his entering into his messianic ministry. Not that he hadn't performed a bit before, but this inaugurated him because, you know, immediately after that, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. So he was inaugurated. He already was the Son of God. already was called to be the Messiah, but this was the entering into that mission work of his. If the Holy Spirit had to descend on God, the second person of the Trinity and the person of Christ, then I have another thought. Why would Jesus ever have to pray? Who's he praying to? Why, he's praying to the Father. He said, because I want to show what the perfect man is. Jesus is God's perfect man and man's perfect God. He shows what a man should do. A man should be filled with the Spirit of God, and a man should pray to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus prayed. Oh, just a little thing. Oh, thank you for this food or bless it. No, Jesus prayed sometimes all night. He was in prayer. He prayed in the garden, agonizing for God's will to be done. He was always found in prayer. If you study the life of Christ, it was a life of prayer. If Jesus needed that, how many all-nighters have you spent in prayer? How many all afternoons have you spent in prayer? How many hours? How many minutes? At all? Have you prayed at all? If it's worth anything, it's worth everything. Because Christ did it. Because Christ exhorted us to pray. Christ exhorted you to pray. And we sit here and sing songs about prayer and about praise to God, but we're far from it. There are certain things that I don't like to do. And I was telling Lillian about that. Certain things I don't even like to spend a half hour doing or an hour doing. But the other day I was working out here, and the sun was brutal. And for 4 hours I was out here, I had a great time. Does anybody else, there's certain things you really don't like to do even for a half hour, which are very easy, but you'd rather do a hard labor than watch a Lifetime movie? I'd rather be 4 hours out there than watch Lillian's Lifetime movie. It's easy to talk about prayer, but are you doing it? You'd rather go out and do anything than spend 15 minutes in prayer. How many movies have you watched this week? How much of your own convenience have you taken? It's because we're too ignorant to know what a benefit it is to come before the God of all the universe, and the privilege we have to come before God, and the need we have for it to breathe spiritual life into us. Isn't that enough reason to get before God? You need his spiritual life. He has exhorted you to come. Only good things come to those that pray. And yet we let it aside like it's some add-on or an incidental or for very spiritual people. By all prayer and supplication, praying at all times in the Spirit and in the same, watching with all instances and supplication for all the saints. You don't know what to pray? Start to look around you at everybody in this church. I personally can point out about 20 people that are going through difficult times. Bring him to prayer. Bring him to the altar of God and say, Lord God, I'm standing in the gap this day for such and such, having a difficult time. And begin to weep and cry for them. Intercede for them. Talk to God about them, not your own self. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. Talk to God about yourself too. But if you're saying, I don't have anything to pray, I can find 100 hours of things for you to pray about. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You say, oh, God, who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to do this? Why is this happening to me? When's this going? God says, be anxious for nothing. All right, but what do I replace it with? But in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Then what's going to happen? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind. Why aren't you praying? Why aren't you praying? You that are attending college for theology and for any kind of Christian work, then don't say, I don't have time to pray. If you have time for your studies, you have time to pray. Because your studies are not nearly as important as your relationship with God Almighty. Now everybody's taking theology, you know my sons are. You're thinking, I'm preaching to them. No, I'm preaching to everybody that ever wants to advance in the Christian faith. You're not going to do it academically alone. It's got to be the Spirit of God. And it's got to be prayer. And if it isn't, then let's discard it. Let's go into something else. Let's meditate. Let's get a mantra. Let's do something else. But if prayer is truly the thing, wouldn't it be great if this church began to pray? I'd love you to come out to the prayer meeting, but even if you don't come out to the prayer meeting, that's no big deal. You can pray at home. But pray. Come before God. Come and seek his face. It's the godly father that prays. How many fathers out there care about their children? How much do you care for them? I'll go out and work. I'll go out and work all hours to supply for my children. But are you willing to get down on your face before God and beseech God on your face through a night for your child? Then do it. Then do it. I challenge you in the name of Christ, do it. Begin to pray for your children. Pray that they meet a spouse that is spirit-filled. Pray that they go to a school and in the midst of adversity, they lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Pray that they are not deceived by what goes on in the educational system. Pray for your children. Take them by the arms and pray with them, but then spend hours interceding for them. Be instant in prayer, watching with all thanksgiving, praying with all for us also that God may open unto us a door of speech to speak the mysteries of Christ. Pray for those that are ministering. Let us go therefore with confidence to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you realize you have a place to go? And it's the very throne of grace where Christ is ever living to intercede for you? My goodness. We're good talkers. We're good talkers. We need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. One translation of James says, is any of you sad? Let him pray. If you're upset, come to God and pray. If you're happy, come to God and pray. If you're seeking direction, come to God and pray. If you're already directed, come to God and pray. Don't forget about him after things start to go right. The gift I want to share is not prayer, but the awareness that you have the gift of prayer already given to you. You already have that given to you. You see in the Bible the exhortation to pray. You see the benefits of prayer, which I've only read a few. I had a whole list here. You know that the Holy Spirit will guide you in prayer. You start to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I would exhort you to begin to pray in the Holy Spirit today. So, where are the fathers in the church? Could you all the fathers stand up, please? We usually want to say, oh, bless the fathers, and I do bless you. But I want to challenge you this day. Is there a man in this congregation that believes in prayer? Who all, of course, everybody's going to look at you, and if you don't raise your hand, they're going to come and drag you out the church door and kick you. That's what we do here. We beat you up if you don't do it. I'm just kidding you. I won't make you raise your hand there, but just raise your heart. Do you believe in prayer? I want to ask you, will you commit yourself to pray? Not because I'm saying it. Oh, not because I want a nice end of the sermon. I want to give you the gift of encouraging you. It's like going to the gym. I've seen guys, and I've told you this 100 times, I've seen guys go to the gym for years, and they're just as in bad shape as they were because they don't do anything in the gym. I want you to come to this church and know that I want you to come closer to God. If I want you to run in the race, and I want to run with you. I'm not ready to give up. I know I'm an old guy now, but I'm not ready to give up. I want to press on to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to run with me. I want us to run together. I would love to be a church that had a bunch of men in it that all they wanted to do was lift up the name of Christ and pray. Imagine that. Imagine that. Who here will commit to pray? Let me see your hands. All right. You commit to pray. Now you set your own schedule. I'm not going to tell you 5, 10, 15. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But you're making a pact with God that you're going to pray. All right, we said you got to admit you're ignorant. Who here wants to admit they're ignorant about prayer? Well, I admit that I'm ignorant about prayer. I need to grow in that. I want to be a better man of God. And so I encourage you this day to make a pact with God that you're going to pray. I would love to see you pray daily. I would love to see you say, from now on, I'm setting this time aside. I'm going to come before God, and I'm going to sit before God and listen to the Holy Spirit move in me. And just give me a direction on what to pray for. Of course, I gave you some things to pray about. But just sense the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and begin to pray as he would lead you to pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. So pray to God in that respect. I bless you, men, this day. God bless you as fathers. What a difficult job it is to be a father. And so that's why I need the Holy Spirit to move within me, to help me to be a father they would have me to be. Now, not only do the gift I want to give you is that you are aware that that prayer is for you, that you can pray whether you feel ignorant or not, and that the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you in prayer. But now I'm going to look at all the people sitting down. And I'm going to ask you, would you pray for the men, for the fathers of this church? Would you pray that? And I want you to pray with me this day as you bless these men to become representatives of God in this church. Imagine if these men right here, we could turn the world upside down. We could turn the world upside down for Christ if we operated in the way we are called to. God is calling you to that this day. And so with the men standing, I want to bless you. And I do bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you. Give you peace. And we in the congregation want to bless you men, you fathers, for the job that you are doing and have done, many of you. And so I would ask the congregation, would you please bear with me and repeat after me as we pray for these men? All the congregation, repeat after me. Dear Lord, we praise you. We come to you in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless these fathers this day with a fresh anointing on their lives. Touch their hearts. Encourage them to seek you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. I bless them this day. In Jesus Christ's name, let them pray and be filled with the Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. May the Spirit of Christ go with you. If the worship team would